And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a lot to get to today on the program. Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock to talk a little Titans football, including some interesting takes that Jared threw out there yesterday. Trey Wallace from Outkick at 8 o'clock and the legendary John McClain in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Joe Rex Road, live from the state of Michigan. How are we doing this morning, Joseph?
Well, my in-laws have a Keurig, but I cannot find the caffeinated pods. I can only find the decaf. Okay. So to answer your question real briefly, I'm not doing well.
Long day yesterday for Mr. Rex Road. Michelle, what's going on?
That just made me laugh. I'm sorry, Joe, but mind over matter. You got this. You got this.
How I mean, do I go wake someone up? it's like
that's like, debatable.
Hey, I got a problem here. I need somebody to come in here and fix it. Please do that.
Send caffeine. Send help.
Maybe what has to happen. How was trivia last night, Michelle?
Oh, it was great. Okay, so my team, I think we tied. Well, we beat Max Herz, Lindsay, and Hal Gill. We beat their team. Not sure if we beat Chase and D-Mace, but I think we ended up getting – there were like 27 teams, and then wow. We tied for 10th or something.
It's not bad.
So right in the middle of the mix. The last question
– respectable.
The last question, super obvious, and in my defense, I wasn't sitting at the table when the question was asked.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Seems like there's a little bit of bitterness there.
No. Nick Kieser was there. He held the fort down.
Okay.
So it was my fault. I stepped away.
Okay, well, what was the super obvious question?
Oh, it was like the first sports movie ever to win an Oscar or something, and it was Rocky.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Little Sly Stallone in there.
I can say it's obvious right now after the fact, but probably in the moment, I would have been like...
See, I probably would have outsmarted myself on that one. I would have thought something before Rocky may have gotten it done.
Yeah, me too. Like, Fear Strikes Out or Pride of the Yankees or something like that. Yeah.
So maybe it's not as obvious as you think.
Okay, yeah, maybe it's easy to look after the fact. But Willie Donick,
Michelle's
great
all
job
over
hosting.
What do we do here?
Just all over teammates. Josh from Cookeville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I just want to thank y'all for such a great show and making my morning setting up my classroom better. I appreciate your honest takes. You guys rock. This is coming from Josh from Cookeville. Josh, we'll send you your check in the mail very
Josh,
shortly.
You rock.
Appreciate everybody listening this early in the morning. Joe, it appears the Tennessee Titans have some concern at the safety spot. They've made a couple of different moves so far during this training camp, and they make another one yesterday. Ugo Amadi, which, by the way, Overton High School product, so shout out to Middle Tennessee football here in the high school area. But he was with the Seahawks. He got traded to the Eagles like 10 days ago and now has been traded again from the Eagles to the Titans. So another move at safety for this Titans team yesterday, and it kind of feels like John Robinson and this Titans staff are really searching for something to click depth-wise behind Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker at this point.
Yeah, there's some very interesting stuff there. You know, they're talking about a 2019 fourth-round pick out of Oregon, like you said, Overton, which is also where Theo Jackson went. I'm trying to think, like, how close would they have? Maybe would Amadi have been like a senior when Theo Jackson was a freshman, something like that? They may have crossed paths. Yeah. They may have crossed paths in that way. And then, so Theo Jackson playing nickel.
Yeah.
Again, he's been hurt some. I feel like A.J. Moore is a guy that they like and is a clear three. But after that, it just seems like they're just sort of cycling through people. And, you know, it's not like you're giving up a ton when you swap a 7th and a 6th in 2024. It's not some huge trade, but the fact that now there's been two trades tells you that, that they don't like their depth there. And I do wonder what this means for Theo Jackson. His move plus this, are they discouraged or concerned, I guess, you know, about what's going on with him in camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that they're really kind of taking a look at every different thing. I mean, you know, Amadi's a guy that he's played a lot with Seattle over the course of the last couple of years. He gets traded 10 days ago and now he's on the move again. I mean, the good news is you feel great about Hooker and Byard at that spot, but as you discussed yesterday on Jared versus Joe, you're one injury away at a couple different positions from really being in a world of hurt. And right now, safety, as much as anything, you're one injury away from maybe really having a problem at that position. So, you know, maybe Amadi's a guy that comes in and it works out, but that's as you go through. I mean, we talk about how much depth they've got at outside linebacker and some of these different spots. They do not have a whole lot of depth at the safety position. You can't have depth everywhere in the salary cap era here, but safety seems to be something that's of high concern for John Robinson.
Yeah, and you look at all this movement and everything, and you think back to last year when Dane Cruikshank finally got healthy and finally was able to put in basically I think he did miss a little time early, right? Did he miss a little time early? He may have. But I thought for sure he wasn't going to make the team last year. He did. He ended up being, you know, like a really nice piece for that defense. And so I thought maybe, you know, that they would try to retain him. They didn't. He moved on and signed as a free agent with the Bears. And I don't really know what's going on with him and the Bears right now. But you look at that, and it's like, gosh, maybe they should have, maybe they should have tried to keep him as the third safety and as the quote-unquote tight end silencer, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? 1 year deal. I'm trying to think, what the heck, how much did he sign for with the Bears? Yeah, I mean, it's a million guarantee, you know? One year deal with the Bears. I mean, for all this stuff that they're going through, wouldn't that have been worth it?
I mean, you would think so. I mean, he's a guy that nobody's going to confuse Dane Cruikshank for Kevin Byard back there, but he carved out a role for himself on the team last year, and $1 million, not that much money at the end of the day. So, I don't know, maybe they thought that, you know, they could do this internally a little bit cheaper, but they seem to be having some problems right now trusting people. Like, who is your safety room today as we sit here today on Thursday, August 25th, with all the different movement and shuffling that's come around beyond Byard and Hooker? Who do you think's in there at the moment?
Well, like I said, I mean, A.J. Moore, I think for sure, that he's been, I mean, I think he's been pretty much clearly the three, you know, for a while. Now, you know, and that's the thing, like they got Joshua Kalu back in there and I feel like he's made some plays. So if you felt okay, if you liked A.J. Moore, which they seem to have liked A.J. Moore, you have Joshua Kalu back. You know certainly that he can help you on special teams. You got Theo Jackson, who has definitely had good moments. I mean, there's no doubt that Theo Jackson has had some good moments. I feel like he's definitely made some tackles, some plays in the preseason games. Like, I just – like, if someone told me yesterday, today the Titans are going to swap picks – with a team to bring in someone, what position will that be at? I would not have guessed safety. I mean, I would have guessed, you know, offensive line. Like last year, basically, it's like we didn't know about Cruikshank. Brady Breeze didn't make it, and I thought it looked more dire than this, you know, on paper. But because remember, they also have, I mean, they have Adrian Colbert is in there. They have Tyree Gillespie in there. I mean, they got a lot of different possibilities. So let's remember, this also could be just liking a particular player, you know? I mean, it isn't necessarily, oh, my gosh, we have to look around and add here. It may be they just really like Amadi. I mean, it is, like you said, a really interesting situation with a guy who was in Seattle for a while and then, boom, trade, you know? Like, maybe they just like making trades with the Eagles. I don't know.
Well, maybe so. Liam on the text line says, yeah, sounds great, but how are his pass blocking skills? Talking about Amadi. Maybe. Maybe they're trying him out at right tackle, Joe. Need somebody in there.
I would assume at least good lateral movement. You know, so you stay in front of someone and just sort of like get in the way and trip them up. Yeah, you never know.
there's a quickness element that he could bring to the table that not many other offensive linemen may have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's worth a look, right? They're obviously moving people around right now.
I mean, look, you're hoping that it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like, the Hookard and Byard can stay healthy, and that'll just be what it is at the safety spot. I mean, you're going to need some guys on special teams and all that stuff. But defensively, speaking for myself, I feel great about their starters. Great about their starters. There are certain spots where I think they've got some depth. Like, I think at corner, they've got a little bit of depth. I think they've got very good depth at outside linebacker. I'm not sure about inside linebacker, and safety is very concerning with the depth. But really, at every level, for the most part, I feel really good about the starters. We'll see about corner. They're still really young there, but you start to, at some point, somebody's going to get hurt on the defensive side of the ball, and you're just hoping that you can survive that as best as possible. Hopefully it doesn't approach anywhere what they had last year.
Yeah, well, and then you brought up linebacker. So they, you know, they officially they moved Monty Rice to reserve PUP. So that means the first four games for sure. So now you're looking at, if Cunningham or Long were to get hurt, you're looking at Chance Campbell, the rookie. You're looking at undrafted rookie Dr. Jack Gibbons, a Mike Vrabel favorite. And you're looking at Joe Jones, who had a nice pick the other night. But that's not exactly where you want to be either, right? No. Look, I will say, and obviously Jack Gibbons has impressed, but you know, impressed Vrabel and to get enough to get the title there. But I like a lot of what I've seen from Chance Campbell going back to the spring. Still, though, it's like, you like what you see. Looks like he knows what's going on in practice, moving around pretty well, making some plays. Looks pretty good in the preseason games. You still don't know what that means on a Sunday and how big of a drop-off that is. I'd say it's a pretty steep one.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion next. Also, is Dylan Radins going to make this team? More takes continue to come in on that front as well. We'll get to that next. Also, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What is your role in the development of Nick as he grows into that right tackle position?
I mean, it's kind of twofold, right? Just leading, encouraging, and then also holding him accountable. You know, obviously, if he's in there, we're going to need him to play at a high level and operate the way we expect to operate. And then also, it's loving him up and letting him know when he does a good job, and that we have a lot of confidence in him being able to block effectively both in the run and pass game.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday discussing Nicholas Petit-Frere at the right tackle spot. Another day for Nicholas Petit-Frere at the starting right tackle spot. Dylan Radins at guard yet again yesterday as the Titans kind of, sort of, I guess, practice against the Arizona Cardinals. This is an interesting setup that Arizona's got this week. They basically, I guess, did 2 minute against each other yesterday, and that's about it. So Arizona's going to go off by themselves to Vanderbilt today in practice, and looks like sounds like 2 minute was a little sloppy yesterday all the way around. So, interesting practice setup with the Titans and Cardinals, Joe Rexroth.
Yeah, and the Cardinals don't let any video get taken at all, even an individual. I mean, are they worried that, like, Kyler's going to sit there and, like, watch all the videos instead of, you know,
watching too much? Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Kind of strange. Yeah, like, I mean, I hope they enjoy their week in Tennessee, you know? They get to see the Titans for a minute. It's really weird.
They put out like this video of DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. I couldn't really tell who he was going up against, but it was a great catch
Fulton.
By Hopkins. And there's this nice, just completely extended left arm on Fulton's face as he's going up to catch the ball. And I'm like, okay, is that not offensive pass interference? Because that sure looks like offensive pass interference to me.
It did, but when you make a play that awesome, I support not throwing the flag.
Okay.
You know, just let the guy have the TD. That was sweet.
It was. They're going to miss him the first six games of the year. Be a tough loss without him.
Yeah, at least the Titans, you know, DBs got to get a look there. So that's good.
That is very good. So another day inside for Dylan Radins yesterday, and we talked about Derek Mason's take that He doesn't believe that Dylan Raiden should make the 53-man roster. Well, Jared Stillman, who we'll have on the show coming up at 7 o'clock, also said yesterday on his show that he doesn't think Dylan Raiden is going to make the team. Now, Joe, albeit I'm not there every day, so I do not have as much experience watching the backup offensive linemen as you do. I have seen them in the games, and it's been rough at times in the games. Do you think there is a legitimate possibility of Dylan Raiden not being on this football team this time next week?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I would not expect that to happen. I mean, it's certainly if there isn't an addition or more than one addition made, I definitely don't expect it to happen based on what I'm seeing. Like you said, you get into the threes and it's a little bit rough. You know, you do have some young guys in there. How do they feel about Xavier Newman, the rookie out of Baylor, you know, interior lineman? You do have Jalen McKenzie, you know, rookie out of USC. Andrew Rupchik is a rookie too. These are both tackles. So as I look at Christian DeLauro's been out there, you know, second year guy. I mean, at this point, I think Dylan Raiden is, like it or not, is the swing tackle. And I think he's some level of competitor inside. Like right now, and Jared and I talked about this, he went through guys, would you put him ahead of this guy? Would you put him ahead of this guy? Like he said, Jamarco Jones. And I said, yeah, I'd definitely put Dylan Raiden ahead of Jamarco Jones right now.
Well, we know you're a big expert on Jamarco Jones, according to Jared, too.
Yeah, so another thing Jared just totally made up, because like it's like you have like some sort of little conversation about something and someone's mentioned, and then in his brain, like he actually thought, I guess, that I was like, oh, I watched Jamarco Jones and I watched him closely in the Titans series. Let me tell you, that guy's really good.
I didn't even pay attention to Derrick Henry or Julio Jones at all that day. Yeah. I was watching Jamarco Jones.
For whatever reason, I just really felt compelled to watch Jamarco Jones that day and his blocking against Tier Tart.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just really, really – yeah, I mean, basically, the actual conversation was I was like, well, I was at the Seattle Titans game, and I know he was on the field. Yeah, and it was probably him like, yeah, he sucks. He can't play in the NFL. You know, and I said that. And then but at this point, I would put Dylan Raiden's above him. So I don't think he'll get cut. If he does, I'll be surprised. And especially if that doesn't include bringing other people in. I guess, you know, if that happens and he gets bumped down a bit, sure. But even like at guard, Jared brought up Corey Levin, and I'm like, I think that at guard right now they would put Raiden's, like especially left guard, over 11. Although I think Levin has a good chance to make him this team, you know, as a backup center.
Let's say Levin's value would be because he could play center, right? Like, I don't know if he can do it, but.
Exactly. And Levin has played some guard, but I would think Raiden's would be ahead of him. Look, I don't know this for sure. It's possible that they're like, let's give him all these reps. And then at this point, they're like, he is just terrible. Cut him. It's possible, but I don't think that's the case. I do think that he has, you know, it hasn't been a great camp for him. He tried to win a starting job in the NFL, and it's not going to happen. But he has commanded a lot of discussion. Kudos to Dylan Raiden.
Yeah.
You know, the Titans, you know, third tackle slash, you know, third guard. And, boy, we talk about a lot. But, hey, that is what happens when you're a second-round pick.
It is what happens when you're a second-round pick. And, you know, I think – you know, y'all were talking about this yesterday. The bust word, I'm pretty much there with Dylan Raiden at this point. I do think you have to separate those two things in this discussion, though. Like, there's a difference between being a bust and not living up to where you think he's going to be and also not making the football team. Like, if he's a part of your best eight or whatever number you end up going with on the offensive line, like, he's got to be on the team, right? Like, right now, I don't know who else would be the swing tackle. Nobody that you feel good about, for sure. And maybe you don't feel good about him. I don't know. That's why the more I look at this situation right now on the offensive line, the more it tells me that a move of some kind is probably coming next week. And I don't know what that means for Dylan Raiden, but I would be surprised if the Titans don't make some sort of move on the offensive line via the cuts that come out next week.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then certainly his spot on the roster is jeopardized, is more jeopardized. Look, maybe they do think that Christian DeLauro is just a flat-out better tackle than him, or Jalen McKenzie. They like Jalen McKenzie as a rookie. They feel like he's got a chance to grow into something. You know, I don't know. I don't know how they rank all that. But I think he'll make the team as of now. And yeah, it could be multiple guys on Tuesday that they try to jump on the waiver wire, because a lot of players are going to be out there. But to back up what Paul Kaharsky said yesterday, whatever they do out there, you know, it's in highly likely that it's just adding to depth and not immediately plugging in a starter.
Right. Like, I think Nicholas Petit-Frere is the starter at right tackle. I mean, I think the starting offensive line is pretty much set at this point if Nate Davis is ever back out there and playing right guard. Like, I think the line is Lawan, Brewer, Jones, Nate Davis, and Petit-Frere. And then after that, I don't know exactly what that rotation is going to look like. But, you know, the depth part of it, if it is depth, which I think it will be when they sign whoever next week, if that's the route they decide to go, then the question is, where does Dylan Raiden sit in the pecking order of the offensive line today? And is bringing in one right tackle or one swing tackle or, I don't know, one guard, is it going to be enough to bounce Dylan Raiden's out of the rotation right now?
So Ben on the text line says, no benefit to keeping Dylan. We can sign better backups. So a couple things to keep in mind here. One is that there's been incredible scrutiny on Dylan Raiden's, of course, right? And Trevor Maddich has gone on Jared's show and has given very unflattering evaluations of his play. But, like, no one's looking at Christian DeLauro's play like that and breaking it down, right?
Right.
I don't know what would happen if you did. It might also be pretty ugly. Like, so I feel like there's this perception like, oh, he's worse than everybody on this, you know, when it's, you got to remember, like, he's just the focal point because of where he was drafted. It doesn't mean he's behind these other guys. And also, when you talk about signing better backups, again, it may be a guy, maybe more than one. Let's also remember, these guys have been in this offense for a long time, and it's not just snap your fingers, you know the whole play, boom, get in there and play, right? Doesn't mean you can't get up to speed, but there is something to be said for having people who have been in your organization and kind of know what you're trying to do.
Man, I bet Vrabel's got those PFF grades of the offensive linemen all just lined up on his wall in the office there. That could be how these decisions are being made right now. I mean, that would explain Dylan Raiden's getting dropped down pretty significantly.
The PFF wall. Yeah. And where did he put his Coach of the Year award? Like, he probably had to put it somewhere so it doesn't block his view of all the PFF.
Yeah, he's
got to
make sure that's always constantly visible in there. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. We've got the best and worst things in sports at 645 as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Jared Stillman joining the show at 7 o'clock as well. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, there's a part about this offensive line that we've not really talked about much at all, that if it goes wrong, they're in a world of hurt. And that is Taylor Lewan. And I bring this up because Taylor Lewan, over the last 3 years, he played 13 games last year, obviously 5 games the year before that in 2020 with the ACL injury, and just 12 games the year before that in 2019 because of the suspension as well. So you're talking about three seasons, albeit for different reasons, where Taylor Lewan has not played in every game and has had some injury problems in the last two, in 2020 and in 2021 as well. One thing that has become pretty clear to me, they're going to need Taylor Lewan to be healthy for all 17 games this year. Like they, and whether it's Dylan Radins or whoever it is the swing tackle for this team, for this offensive line to give this offense a chance, to me, Taylor Lewan's got to be healthy the whole time. Like they need to be able to single him up, put him out there on the left side, and just not worry about that side for the most part. And look, you never want to see Taylor Lewan go down. If I'm a Titans fan, this year in particular, you really need Taylor Lewan to be healthy and to be available. And, you know, I was thinking back to the game the other night. Like he came out after three plays, had to go get his hand wrapped up, and came back in the game after that. Like they need Taylor Lewan to be available for all 17 games this year.
This is an excellent point. Before I react to it, I have an announcement to make.
Okay.
Katie texted me where the caffeinated pods are. I have
coffee
in a Loki mug here. Look at this Loki mug.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty
shout out Katie Rexroad, the best.
Shout out Katie and my in-laws, and now the show can proceed. I mean, of all the people, of the starters the Titans have, I think number one clearly is Tannehill. Whether people want to acknowledge, even if you're a total Tannehill hater,
there's no question.
Right? I mean, that's easy. That's an easy number one. Derrick Henry's still high up there, even though the Titans, you know, figured it out last year, very high. But I mean, Lewan's got to be top five easily, right? Of starters, you absolutely cannot get hurt.
He might be top three.
Yeah, he might be. He might be top three. I'm trying to think on defense what would be the most devastating, because, again, we've talked about the lack of, you know, like a Byard would be – would a Byard be a worse loss than like a Simmons? You know,
I don't know. It's close.
But, I mean, those guys come to mind. The receiver situation, like if Robert Woods got hurt at this point, would be a real problem too. But, yeah, I think
– Randy Bullock.
That's a good point. They do have Shudak, the Iowa kicker, is on PUP, so they have someone who's around. But, yeah, you know, even with that, you can go find someone, right, in a pinch, and you may be okay. But with the Titans tackle situation, yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be top three. Honestly, you could make a case it's top two.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of people would shrug it off and say, no, it's got to be Derrick Henry, but it's close. Because now what the heck would you do? Ryan Tannehill's blind side? Yeah, I think it is number two. I think it's Tannehill and then it's Lewan. I mean, Tannehill's blind side now, what are you doing? You can put Petit Frere over there. I mean, you can put Radins over there. That's what your answer is. And that's kind of goes to the question of Dylan Radins getting cut. Do they really feel better about like a DeLauro or McKenzie or one of those guys in that scenario going over there? I know they don't feel good about Dylan Radins going over there, but like at least he's had reps with the ones a lot and he has played in a football game at that position.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Lewan hadn't played a full season the last 2 years because of injury. And we're just, it's a huge year for him from a couple of different reasons. Number one, you know, what does his future look like with the Titans beyond this year? That's going to be pretty interesting. But, like, if they don't have him available, this offensive line is in a world of hurt. I mean, it just is. I mean, you already have a question. Like, honestly, I feel, comparatively speaking, I feel pretty good about Aaron Brewer heading into this year. But we don't know what that's going to look like as a full year with Aaron Brewer as the starter at left guard. You know, the right tackle situation is going to have to sort itself out. But if Lewan misses, you know, 3-4 games this year, you're, at this point, I guess, you're moving either Petit Frere over to left tackle and Radin's back at right tackle, or DeLauro, as you mentioned. I mean, the offensive line, if he goes down all of a sudden, is in rough, rough shape. And it may already not be in great shape with him in there. So that, to me, is a giant concern this year. Like, they need Taylor Lewan to be not just – I mean, we've talked about him being vintage Taylor Lewan, and that's important. Like, they need him to play well. They also really need him to be available this year, which is not something he's been able to do for a full season – for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I do think in that scenario, you know, Petit Frere, I agree with you. Right now, it's pretty clear that he's going to get the opportunity to start. Maybe they strike gold on Tuesday, and they got someone. They're like, okay, instantly better than him, go. But I have my doubts about that. So if that's the case, and he's a rookie, and it's like you are, and I know he's gotten reps on the left side, but to me, it's like you've got to keep him over there.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get the absolute best out of him that you can get. And again, Dylan Radins, in a real world way, has made it clear he's more comfortable on the left side. So I think that would be right now the move, which is not at all comforting. And maybe that's where we've talked about it. Jared, you know, a lot of people, the Bobby Hart thing, for example.
Yeah.
if he were to be back out there, you'd probably feel instantly better about him in a pinch, you know, than Radins. I think that's true.
This has got to be where Bobby Hart is discussed the most, probably throughout the history of his career, right? This station. Love him some Bobby Hart.
It's you know, we're the only show in town that's going to talk honestly about Bobby Hart as an offensive tackle,
yep,
as an option for the Titans. Very exciting.
No question about it. Dustin from Hockmansville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, why is Lawan still here? He's a great talent. Fragile body. This is coming from Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line. Well, I guess my follow-up would be, can you imagine what this offensive line would look like right now if Taylor Lewan wasn't here? You trust them to start drafting, you know, more tackles left and right? How's that going so far?
Yeah, I mean, look, even last year, Lewan got a lot better. It was brutal early. And, you know, the ACL, he's had all this stuff. You just went through it all. It's very important to have Taylor Lewan. And I still believe that Taylor Lewan, you can see so much. You can see only so much via practice, but I think he's healthy and in great shape, and he's still got some good football left in him. It's a big, big deal that the Titans still have Taylor Lewan right now.
He's still off social media as well, which he's made it further than I thought he would so far.
Now he'd stop recording his podcast. Maybe he'd really block somebody, you know?
Real quickly, got a couple people asking about punter on the text line. We'll start with Liam's question. I got a bunch of random punter thoughts and questions. Seems like the Colts are waiting for us to cut Stonehouse or Kern. Could we work out a trade for them for an offensive lineman? Is there any way to trade a punter to someone else to stop from helping them if they won't deal? I don't think the punter's going to have a ton of trade value, whether that be Brett Kern or Ryan Stonehouse. I don't know if you're giving up an offensive lineman for a punter.
Yeah, bottom line is one of those guys may well end up in Indy, and you're just going to have to live with that. I mean, it's a good thing for you that you picked up a guy like Stonehouse who can actually challenge him, and you're actually considering him being your long-term punter. But, yeah, you're gonna lose one of those guys. Unnamed here on the text line says, I don't really remember the game Dylan started last year. Didn't have a solid game against Nick Bosa or the Titans scheming to make him look good. There were a couple snaps in that game where I was actually somewhat stunned that he didn't have – and one in particular for sure. Like, he didn't have help. It was him against Bosa, and he actually did a good job. I heard Jared the other day. He went through the game and, you know, sent a bunch of snaps at Carolina and how bad they were. Obviously, he had bad snaps. The entirety of the game, to me, was still better than you would have ever guessed. Yes, he got a ton of help. It's not like coming out of that game, the Titans were like, oh, here we go. Left tackle of the future, Dylan Radins. He had to do something to pinch. They had to scheme around it. There were a couple moments in that game where he did better than I would have guessed, but obviously that's not enough to tell you much.
Well, and look,
this camp's been here to tell us about Dylan Radins, and it's pretty clear the answer right now.
The reaction to that got out of control. Like, he played, I think, better than most people expected, and he did an okay job. And somehow, since then, that's turned into, well, Radins did a great job in the game against San Francisco. Well, no, he didn't. He was okay, and he got a lot of help, and it was fine. They were able to survive the game, obviously, and they won. So all that's great. But some of that has been taken to an extreme place. I know, shocking that happens in today's world, where he was all of a sudden like some shutdown left tackle out there against Nick Bosa.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little much. So, yeah, look, they've put a lot of time into trying to see what he is. I don't think he's a guy they send out on the street, but maybe.
We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your thoughts and submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexford, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I would love to. Thank you. I'm going to go best. I got to stick close to home, and they got a big game today. But it's not just close to home, it's the whole state. Nolensville, Little League baseball team in Williamsport, College World Series, took a tough one.
Little League
took a
World
tough
Series.
Loss. Did I just say college? Dude, I keep
you
saying
yes,
that.
You did. Again.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry. Yes, Little League World Series and tough loss to Hawaii yesterday. But it's been an incredible run. The win over Indiana with overcoming bases loaded, no outs, when it looked like it was over with a strikeout, and then Satinoff diving catch it short. And he and his dad, by the way, were on with Willie and D-Maze the other day. It was fun. It's been a great run, and they're not done yet. So kudos to them. It's been really a blast. I think is that 2 weeks in a row that they've been my best in sports. I think it is.
I think so.
Yes, it is.
Is it 2 weeks in a row that I said college instead of Little League?
It probably is.
Probably is that too. Worst in sports, another consistent worst in sports topic for me. Man, you see some things like this and you're like, please don't be real. Please be like some internet crap that somebody, photoshopped something and it's not real. But apparently it's real because there's a lot of coverage of it. First of all, you got some idiot Browns fan with his kids. Or his kid next to him, and he has like a thing that says "bleep them hoes," and his kid has like a free Watson shirt, and then you got the vendor outside the stadium "bleep give me a massage" T-shirt. I don't know what to add to that other than my God, people are awful sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to just hammer Browns fans, but we talked about this. Like this, wherever he would have signed, there would have been some people that would have done it. And I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not. It's amazing what people prioritize in life sometimes. Michelle Knezovic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, my best thing in sports, this happened on Monday on SEC Network. Alyssa Lang, who traditionally hosts some of the shows, reports, sideline reporter. So she was the first ever woman to fill in host for the Paul Feinbaum show. So that was pretty awesome. If you watch anything, she's a great host. But ESPN PR tweeted on Monday that she, and I actually never knew that. I never thought. I mean, Feinbaum's not there all the time. But yeah, so she was the first ever woman to fill in, which that's just awesome in itself. My worst in sports, I thought at first it was just kind of rumors and stuff, but then seeing the tweet receipts of national media actually saying that Malik Willis could potentially take the starting job. And I thought at first people were just joking, and then there were receipts on Twitter of videos and people actually reporting that and stating that. So Joe, you say this. Robbie, you say this. Listen to the local media. I promise you can watch one press conference or one game or anything. He is not starting.
You think they're talking about 2025?
No.
2026?
2022 they were talking.
Okay. Interesting. It's beautiful stuff.
Solid analysis, folks.
It is. All right, my best in sports. College football is back this weekend, baby, and it is a wonderful time of year. We're going to get a brief taste of it this week. There are some good games out there. Vanderbilt taking on Hawaii. We'll see how Clark Lee and the Doors are able to respond heading into their second year. We'll get a little bit deeper into that coming up later in the show as well. But college football being back, is a great time of year. We are 1 week away from Tennessee being back out there as well. So, Joe, we've made it, the return of college football. I know that we spent a lot of time this offseason talking about everything else off the field going on in the world of college sports, but still the on-the-field product in college football is perhaps my favorite in all of sports. So I'm very much looking forward to its return this week.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. It's obviously week one. This is week zero. Week one is loaded with interesting games, but there's some interesting ones. Nebraska, Northwestern, and Dublin.
Yeah,
kind of an interesting little ball game. And of course, Vanderbilt, Hawaii, late night on Saturday night from the island.
Yeah, better get a nap.
Raucous crowd like they've never seen before.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Austin Peay, Western Kentucky in action this weekend as well. There's a decent amount of games coming up on Saturday, so looking forward to that. My worst thing in sports, Chet Holmgren, number two overall pick yesterday, gets hurt in a pro-am. He's guarding LeBron James coming down in a kind of a pro-am game in Seattle that I believe Jamal Crawford put on. Yeah. And Chet Holmgren is back on defense, and he has potentially torn some ligaments in his foot. My brother, as a massive Oklahoma City Thunder fan, is devastated by this news yesterday. And it got me thinking, like, if you're an NBA owner, and I think the NBA is probably the most interesting sport in this discussion because they do this stuff all the time and go play elsewhere. Like, if you're with the Oklahoma City Thunder, you're not looking around and being like, man, can we stop playing in all these random games and just play with us? Like, it's one thing to get hurt in our practice, but now you're going to miss who knows how much time. He's getting, you know, an MRI today to get this foot looked at. But he's probably going to be out, you know, 4 or 5 months if it's a torn ligament in his foot at minimum. And now all of a sudden, your season's halfway shot down the drain.
Yeah, I expect there'll probably be some reaction to this. Totally different, but, you know, of course, Jay Williams with the motorcycle accident, you know, that basically ended his career. I mean, there are a lot of things that are in contracts. You know, basketball is one of those things where it's like, well, gosh, like I've got to hone my game in the off season, right? Like you expect me to just put up jumpers the whole time? Like like you should be able to play the sport, but then again, something like this happens, and yeah, I totally understand the reaction and why people would be would think along those lines and be upset. By the way, Chet Holmgren, if he's out for a while, he needs to be on a sandwich an hour schedule. Take advantage of the time.
Yes.
Brush your teeth with milkshakes.
He's going to need to probably get a little bigger. My brother is irate at LeBron James today, by the way. Just really upset at LeBron James.
Blame LeBron.
Just get him out.
Blame LeBron
said,
for everything.
Out there twice his age, running him over. Get out of the way. What are you doing, LeBron?
Probably weighs three times as much as him.
He probably does. JC in Goodlettsville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, worst of the week. There's been no Joe Milton news out of the show. We have let JC and Goodlettsville down. We've not had much discussion of Joe Milton this week, Joe Rexroad. But I will say, if things go to plan for Tennessee next week against Ball State, he'll probably get in there at some point.
Oh, I think so. I think you're 1 week from watching Joe Milton play football. So, you know, put that on your calendar. Right around early fourth quarter. That'd be my guess.
And by going to plan, I mean Tennessee's up by a lot of points. I don't mean Hendon Hooker getting hurt, just for clarification.
Yes, this is what I mean too. Yes.
You hope, Robbie.
Well, I mean, look, if they're not destroying Ball State by the third or fourth quarter, it's probably not going to go over very well. So we'll see what happens on that front. This has been the best and worst things in sports. We can check it out every Thursday morning at 6:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll recap a little bit of Jared versus Joe yesterday and get Jared's thoughts on the Titans as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.